Well, we're here, aren't we? Well, we hope and pray that Michael finally finds a solution, and we're going to stick with him as long as it takes. This morning, I'm going to start out with just a little bit of a history lesson. Did you know that from the creation of the earth, that it was God's plan that Jesus would come and die on the cross? Did you know that? I think you do. But at the time wasn't right, and I don't know. I'll let God decide why he chose to do it that way. But our relationship with God in the beginning was the patriarchal age. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the head of the families. God spoke to them. They gave the families the law that God had laid out for them. And that was the law at that time. Now, God didn't come along and say, hey, this plan's just not working. I'm going to do something else. That wasn't the way it worked. When the time was right and then the children of Israel came out of Egypt, then at the Mount Sinai, God installed a different law, and we call that the law of Moses. So we had the patriarchal age, the Mosaical age, and there again, God didn't come along and say, man, this Mosaical law is just not working. I'm going to set something up different. That wasn't the way it worked. We're told that the Old Covenant law worked as a schoolmaster to teach us and have a group of people that Jesus, the Savior of the world, could be born into and come and set up his new kingdom. So we live now under the law of Christ, and that's the law that we live under today. Not because the Old Covenant law was something God rejected. It fulfilled itself, and now we live under that law of Christ. Well, you know, it's been a while since I have heard a lesson on the plan of salvation. Now, I know that you guys know what that plan is, but if you're a little fuzzy or need a little bit of reviewing or you didn't know, I'm going what our plan of salvation is today. So that's what I'm going to bring to you. I remember when I was not a teenager, but when I was younger, and I was being in the church here, we studied this plan and we covered this plan, the five-step plan, and you know what the five-step plan is and all of that. And we learned that. We learned several verses that still stick in my mind at that time. So I'm gonna present to you today a review of the plan of salvation. It's the same plan today as it was back then. Well, we said that it was God's plan that Jesus Christ would come. That's always been his plan. And so why should we follow Jesus? You know, there are many religions out there, and just forgive you, the one that we recognize or see today in the news is the Muslim religion. The Muslims, they recognize Allah as their God, and they recognize Muhammad as their prophet, sort of like we look to God Yahweh and we look to Jesus as our prophet. That's the ones that they look to. And there's other religions, probably too many to count, but that's the religion that they look to, as we realize that religion is in vain. It's not legitimate. I'm going to just sort of paraphrase Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, the one that Callan read to you. It said, let it be known to you, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Not Confucius, not any name you can come up with and say, well, that's good enough. I worked with a guy up in Alaska one time, and he was marrying a girl from Hawaii, and she was of that religion, and he made the statement. He said, oh, it doesn't make any difference what we call God. We all worship a God. We just call him by a different name. Well, he was mistaken. That won't work. So here again, why do we look to Jesus? In Matthew 28:18, it said, all authority in heaven and earth hath been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. That means that God gave all authority to Jesus. What Jesus said goes. What Jesus taught his apostles, that's the same as God speaking to us. All authority. So if Jesus has all authority, we look to him for everything. We look to him and in his written word that the apostles brought to. Since all authority has been given to Jesus, all authority has been given to his disciples in that same sense, then all authority for us today is written in the Bible. All authority. Okay, I'm going to go through that five point review of the plan of salvation. And like I say, you all know it, but we'll look at it again. Hear the word. Well, now that's just common sense. You can't obey something that you haven't heard. Well, you're going to hear someone preach it to you. You're going to pick up your Bible and you're going to read it. You'll see it on television. Whatever method that comes your way, you have to hear the word. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, hear what? We're going to hear what Jesus tells us and brings to us. We're going to hear what the apostles told us and bring to us. And that's what we're going to hear. Okay, who is going to hear the word of Christ? All nations. Every person on the face of this earth is subject to that call. Everybody is called. Every human being on the earth is subject to that call. And when they respond to that call, then that's what brings about that faith in each person's heart. Who is to go preach this word? He said that to his disciples. Who are you? You're disciples of Christ right here today. You are to go and preach his word to others so they can hear. So that's pretty simple. You have to hear the word before you can obey it. So that word has to be spread, and that's our job. Well, then we come to that second point in that plan of salvation that we have outlined, and that's believe, which is faith. In other words, when you believe, you have faith. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Okay, what are you to believe? You're to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're to believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth to save all men. You believe that Jesus came to give you that plan by which you can be saved. That's what the belief is. That's what you're to believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross. He's the Savior of all mankind. Okay, believe, faith. Then the next point that we usually refer to in that five-point plan is repent. Well, what does repent mean? the Bible, a common way we might say it looking at the Bible, says a complete change of mind and heart and direction, a turning away from sin, and so a turning toward God or Jesus. You might look up your dictionary. It said, what is repentance? To feel or express a sincere remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. Okay, we're talking about the person that's come to believe. He's not a Christian. He hasn't obeyed God. So he realizes that, and just like all of us, at one time or even to a certain degree still yet, we sin, don't we? We know that we're human beings, and before we become a Christian, we sin. After we become a Christian, we commit sins. Hopefully, it's not bad. Hopefully, we understand that we can't continue in sin. But repentance means, okay, now you've heard the word. You've had a change of heart. You've believed that Jesus is the Savior of the world. You believe that Jesus is your Savior, and you've been convinced that he is your Savior. Now you look around you and you say, you know, I may have not been a very good person before this. I lived this kind of life that I shouldn't been living, and I was a sinful person. I'm going to ask God to forgive me, and I'm going to change. That's where you come in with that term repentance. Now, we've got in Acts verse 17, verse 30, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Now, there was a time where people didn't understand the plan of Christ. They were ignorant of that. Well, you can't obey a law that's not into effect. How can you obey the law of Christ when the law of Christ has not been revealed to you? And that's what he means by ignorance. You didn't know what that plan was. God hadn't presented it to you yet. And so you were ignorant of that law. Now you have been taught that law. You've studied and you've come to faith, and you say, I didn't really understand. But now you do. Now, whether or not you know it or not, you're still responsible today. Even if you're ignorant because you want to be ignorant, you're still responsible, and that God, that law of God and law of Christ is in effect right now. So, times of ignorance is over with. All men need to repent. Okay, you've come to believe in Christ. You've come to believe that you're going to accept Jesus as your Savior. You've confessed and you realize that you've sinned and you're living a sinful life. And so in Romans chapter 10, so it says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Okay? A Christian must confess publicly. There is no such thing as a secret Christian. And after we become Christians, let's look at that just a little. You're not a Christian yet. You're getting close. Boy, you're getting close now. But it says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. After you become that Christian, you have the responsibility, if someone comes up to you and they say, what about this Christ? Then you say, hey, here's what the Bible says. I'm ready. I've got something I'm going to say to you. And I might just say, tell you this plan of salvation right here that we're talking about today. I've accepted Jesus Christ. I may be a poor example, but I'm an example of that Christian today. And so you need to confess. And that's what we do when someone comes forward and they say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And they say, yes, I believe. So you just confessed and you just said, I am accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. So confession. You confessed. Then baptism. Mark 16, 15 and 16 says, go you in all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Well, we just read those verses, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, and said you will. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism. Now, what happens during baptism? A lot happens during baptism. Number one, forgiveness of sins. You confess Jesus Christ and you went through that process. And so at that time in baptism, your sins are forgiven. Now, I don't have verses written down to establish these other things, but you know what I'm talking about. If you're baptized into Christ, where is Christ? You're baptized into his body. You're baptized into his church. And it says you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we may be baptized and we may not feel this huge spirit go into us and float us up in the air or anything, but we're told we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what's that Holy Spirit doing? That Holy Spirit dwells in you, and he helps you whether you understand it or not. When you pray, you say, I don't know what to pray for. Help me. And the Holy Spirit will be between you and God, and he will help you send your message to God. That Holy Spirit is going to help you in times of need, in times of weakness. Oh, where do you go? You better go to the Word, hadn't you? You better keep that Word in you. You better let that Word dwell in you too. And you do have that Holy Spirit in you, whether you know it or not. But you know, baptism isn't the end. Now, I'm saying that in a sense is you get to baptism, you're home free. You got it made. You are a Christian, you are saved, and some people want to stop right there. I've got it made, I don't need to go to church, I don't need to do anything after this. I am saved and I'm home free. It doesn't work like that. Some people come up with the idea of once in grace, always grace, once saved, always saved. You can't be lost and you can't even make yourself be lost. But that's not true. You have to live a faithful life before Christ. Baptism is just the beginning of your Christian life. Just the beginning. In Revelation chapter 2, it says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. That's an if. If you're faithful unto death, you will receive it. It's possible to fall away. You might even remember times in your life you said, I quit coming to church. I went out and I started doing all those things I used to do. I know they're sinful, and but blah, 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 and all that. And then one of those days you woke up and you say, hey, this is no good. I have to come back to Jesus. And that's when you come back to Jesus, and Jesus will forgive you, God, and Jesus will forgive you of straying away from Jesus. You can be restored. So it's a requirement that you have to live that faithful life. Baptism is not the end. Baptism is not the whole example or the end of all things. Well, we've listed several things here today. In a hearing, like I said, that's just common sense. You have to hear the word of God. If you don't hear it, you can't obey it. Did hearing save you alone? No. Got a good start. Believing or faith. Okay, you come to the knowledge and you said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to accept him as my Savior. Did that believing save you? Some people are, boy, they bear down on that and they say, absolutely. You say this, you see it on television. You say this phrase after me and you pray this poem, this word, and you are home free. That's not right. That's not right. It said that some of the priests in the time of Jesus, it said they believed. They believed Jesus was the Son of God, but it said they were afraid of the Pharisees and the scribes and the ruling people at that time, and they would not confess Jesus, but they believed. They said, this man, I believe this man is sent from God, but that did not save them. It has to be an obedient believing or faith. Did repenting save you alone? No. You're getting there. Boy, you're getting close. You're getting down to that point. Boy, you're going along really good. You repented of your sins. Okay, good. You made a big, wise decision. We're taught that we have to confess Jesus as the Son of God. We have to confess that our faith in Jesus Christ. We have to accept Jesus as our Savior. Okay, boy, you're getting close. You're just about that close. But you got one more thing to do. And that's be baptized. Does baptism save you alone? No, not really. We could go out here and grab someone off the street, force them into that baptistry and dunk them under. That didn't do them any good at all. So baptism alone won't save you. It's the whole plan. We have a plan of salvation. Hear the word. Believe the word. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus as our Savior and as the Son of God. And be baptized. Be obedient to baptism. Now, like I say, you knew that when I started out. But I hope that it's kind of pushed it into your mind. Hey, maybe you're sitting there and you say, you know, I don't think I did that. Maybe you're sitting there and say, I don't remember doing that stuff. Well, maybe you need to examine your salvation. Maybe you didn't do what you're supposed to do. Well, here it is today. Whether you're someone coming to Christ that's never become a Christian, or maybe you strayed away from Christ. Or maybe you're examining yourself and say, well, I wasn't baptized for that reason. I got baptized because my best friend talked me into it. And then I just went my way and all of that. You know, if you're subject to the call today, this is a call. You're being called like every human being on earth to come to Jesus and accept him as your Savior. And so we're going to give you that invitation right now. And if you are subject to that invitation, or if you need the prayers of the church helping you overcome something in your life, we're going to ask you to come and sing and be baptized if